You are listening to Life Heritage Moments with international evangelist and Bible teacher Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. Life Heritage Moments is a production of the Life Heritage Radio Network. Each program is designed to encourage Christians to consider what it really means to be a Christian as it challenges them to transform words into deeds.
Thanks again for tuning in. This week you will hear the second part of the message, House of Pain. Be blessed.
So he begins to dig deep into his roots. And oh, what an ugly picture it was. He found that his daddy was not the only bad boy in his genes. When he went back to that great King Solomon, the one who God blessed with wisdom, he found out that Solomon, after he was blessed with wisdom, began to act foolish as he took to himself over 1,000 ladies who he called wife and girlfriend. As he looked even at David, can I get a little bit more sound in the mic, please? Just a little touch. Even at David. When he looked at David, he saw that the one who was a man after God's own heart was also a person who killed somebody so that he could hide the fact that he had committed adultery with his wife. When he looked into his genes, not only did he see Solomon who was messed up and David who was messed up, but he saw one great-great-great-great-grandmother by the name of Ruth. Some people are saying, Ruth, what did Ruth do wrong? Well, let me tell you something. When you look in the book of Ruth and it says that she went to Boaz and uncovered his feet, it wasn't his feet that she was uncovering. She was a little forward. And then the one after whom David's house is named, he's the one in the tribe of Judah. Judah was no saint. Yes, he's the earthly ancestor of Messiah, but when we look at Judah, we see that his hormones were so out of control that he slept with his daughter-in-law thinking she was a prostitute. And let's not talk about Abraham, the father of the faithful. God told him that he was going to bless him with land and riches, and he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and out of Haran to go down into Canaan. But when he went down into Canaan, there was a famine. He went into Egypt, and the first thing he did, felt that the folk were going to kill him because his wife was beautiful, and so he pimped his wife out, saying, pretend that you're my sister. Oh, these are the folk in Josiah's genes. And let's not talk about Brother Noah, the one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. After God saved him and his family from the flood, Brother Noah puts a little bit of grape juice on the mantle for too long, and when he drinks it, he finds it stronger than Ray and Nephew and falls out flat drunk. His genes weren't that pretty. And when he tries to reconstruct his house, he sees that he's living in a house of pain. Let me meddle some more this evening, even as we draw lessons from Josiah. And I turn the spotlight now on the United Kingdom, the land of my birth. Who's in England's house? Well, for those who are a part of this country and even a part of the Commonwealth, you know that the head of the Commonwealth is the royal family. And of course, when we look at our house, we don't see a pretty picture. It's a picture of immoral royals. Somebody help me this evening. We know the story about Charles and Camilla. And even before that, it seemed like the royals just can't keep a marriage together. But it's deeper. Some are old enough to remember Edward the Eighth and Mrs. Simpson. Hopefully no one's old enough to remember Henry the Eighth and his six wives. But we see, as we look at the genes of this nation, all these immoral royals, and then we see there's this history of bigotry and imperialism. Britain joined hands with France and Germany and Italy and Spain as they went across to the Middle East on the crusade against Islam, killing people by the thousands till blood was running on the streets of Jerusalem as if it were water. Remember the history of England as they set up the East India Company and the West India Company and went and annexed the islands in the Caribbean and all of the countries out there in the Far East and various places. Remember how Cecil Rhodes went into Africa and called a portion of it Rhodesia after himself. We remember how James sent folk into America to push out the Native Americans. Our folk went to Australia and pushed out the Aboriginals, and as they put up the British flag everywhere, taught them how to sing Rule Britannia, Britannia rule the waves, Britons never, never, never will be slaves. They said with pride, the sun will never set on the British Empire. But even as we look at the nation's genes, I'm going to bring it a little bit closer this evening. And we're going to look beyond the nation's house of pain to the pain that we often find in our own homes. You know, I'm into genealogy. And I don't mind having a conversation with folk about those ancestors of theirs who hold some type of renown. You know, we like those glory stories, don't we? You know, my mother had it passed on to her from her father, who had it passed on from his father and from his father before, going back many, many generations, that my mother, who was born Cynthia Yvonne Morgan, is actually a descendant of Captain Henry Morgan, the first lieutenant governor of Jamaica. Oh, yeah, you're looking at royalty. The first lieutenant governor. Yes, I like to talk about my great ancestor. The one you'll find his name in the history books. There are even some drinks that you shouldn't drink that are named after him. He's a person of great renown. And I'm sure if I were to survey this room this evening, you can tell me about your famous ancestors. But what's the real deal? If you study your history book, you'll know that my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was a scoundrel. This man was a rapist and a robber and a thief and a plunderer and a pirate before the British gave him the right to be the lieutenant governor. He was a terrible individual. But the truth of the matter is, as I look at my roots, as much as I would like to erase those negative parts, I can't do it. I gotta live with it because those are my roots. And don't look at me like I'm the only one who has skeletons in my ancestry. Some of y'all got some murderers and some thieves and some bigots and some adulterers and some drunkards too. Oh, some folk try to change their names to escape their past, but let me tell you something. You can change your name, but you can't change your genes. When it comes down to the crunch and you look at yourself in the mirror, you're facing everything that has gone on before. You're living in that house of pain. So then, you shone the spotlight in our individual homes. You've told us that you're just as messed up as I am. Now, how does this happen? How can we understand what's going on in our ancestry? As we look again at verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it seems as if Josiah spent 4 years trying to understand his past. He starts in the 8th year, and in the 12th year, he begins to do something. So there's a 4-year quest of Josiah to try to understand what's going on. Why was daddy so bad, and why does it seem that he's on a different track than daddy? But when he looked at his genealogy, I'm sure he got somewhat petrified. You see, he saw that there was another good king called Uzziah who started out good just like he did. But somehow, before he died, he turned against God. Then there was another boy king called Joash in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And Joash, he even spent time fixing up the temple of God. And after all the good things he did, he turned his back on God and started to worship idols. And I'm sure that as Josiah began to think about the plight of his father, he must have wondered whether or not his family was suffering from a curse. When he thought about the fact that many of his ancestors and relatives who were supposed to be the worshipers of one God were bowing down to idols, he looked at the practice of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and found out that it was Solomon who introduced idols into Israel. And each generation continued to hold tenaciously onto these idols. It seemed as if they were under a curse. And even when we look at the demise of Josiah, we find that he's eventually killed by the Egyptian king Necho, who marches into Jerusalem. And he says, listen, I have no fight with you, Josiah, because God has told me that he's going to give me the victory. But Josiah fights against him anyhow and is killed. And when we look at the war-loving David, we try to understand what Josiah must have felt. He must have felt as if he was destined to die in battle.
Thanks for listening to Life Heritage Moments. We invite you to email your comments to radio@lifeheritage.org. Please visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org, where you can listen to other programs and view the other services of Life Heritage Ministries. If you wish to partner in this ministry, you may make a secure donation on our webpage, or you can send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Don't forget to tune in again next week, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.